In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The assault bequeathed by evolutionary theory upon the historical narrative of creation is unrelenting. Therefore, it is utterly imperative that Christians equip themselves for the battle. With the intention to provide answers, Living Word Church is pleased to invite you to the upcoming visit by Jay Siegert. Jay is the author of Creation and Evolution, Compatible or in Conflict. He's also a Christian, scientist, and founder of the Creation Education Center. Take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to counteract the destructive effects of the theory of evolution in the minds and hearts of your children and grandchildren by visiting us on February 15th, as they will hear the scientific truth they won't otherwise encounter in schools. Remember, Jay Siegert at Living Word Church on Sunday, February 15th, 2015. Two meetings, two topics, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the morning. For more information, contact us by calling 305-461-9929. 305-461-9929. See you then.
Escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new edition, a new episode of the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. We are dedicated to promulgating the truth in this world full of uncertainty, and this is powered by LWYM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. As usual, we are your hosts, Gio
and Sarai.
We are the youth pastors of said ministry. You know how I'm always speaking about you can't trust the mainstream media?
Right.
Most of the time we received baffled looks and perplexed countenances in youth group when I state this, because most of them are not watching the nightly news.
Nope.
With regularity. Most of the time, and that is if they do, log on to the particular website of their choice or even search engine news to find out what is going on, the latest goings on in the world. They might go to Yahoo News, Bing, which, by the way, the reportages found on those particular websites are, what term could I use to describe them? Garbage?
It's akin to MTV News, BET News.
So what we're saying is that it is garbage.
It's frivolous.
It's frivolous. That's a much better term than what I used. But why do I bring this up? Why do we decide to bring this up in this particular podcast episode? Well, a few nights ago, many who would consider him America's news anchor, Brian Williams, on the NBC Nightly News, it was discovered that he had lied about his involvement in a precarious situation in 2003 in Iraq. Some of you might say, why is this of importance to us, Gio? Well, you need a press in order to live in a free country so as to bring about accountability to those that are in governance and also for the public to be informed and educated about what is going on in different sectors of society. But as I have stated before, and we have stated before, the modern day mainstream news media in the United States is as ludicrous as it can get. Furthermore, it is no longer journalism. We would call it propaganda. Many of them disguise themselves as journalists when in truth they're peddling a leftist ideology, and we would also dare say, and I think we will not be proven wrong on this, and that is that most of the mainstream media today in the U.S. is of a leftist, statist ideology.
Yeah, very.
Now, Before we continue with our commentary, we'd like to play two clips. First, I would like to have our listeners listen to the following clip of Brian Williams on David Letterman recalling the incident that now has been discovered to be false.
Something happened 10 years ago in Iraq. Tell people what that occurred.
I brought a photo which arrived in my email two mornings ago of where I was tonight a decade ago.
This very day.
This very day. This was me 10 years ago and a young command sergeant major. I was in Iraq. Now, a couple of caveats here. As war correspondents go, I am the Herb Schmendrick of war correspondents. I'm not terribly good at it. It is not what I do full time. I am mostly New York based. I do go cover these two wars we've been fighting. And when I do, I like to go out on patrol. I like to get out in it. Guy like Richard Engel, the amount of fire we took on this day, his name for that is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. His name for that is every day of his life.
Right.
We were in some helicopters. What we didn't know was we were north of the invasion. We were the northernmost Americans in Iraq. We were going to drop some bridge portions across the Euphrates so the 3rd Infantry could cross on them. Two of our four helicopters were hit by ground fire, including the one I was in.
No kidding.
RPG and AK-47.
What altitude were you hit at?
We were only at 100 feet doing 100 forward knots because we had these massive pieces of bridge beneath us on slings.
What happens the minute everybody realizes you've been hit?
We figure out how to land safely, and we did. We landed very quickly and hard, and we put down, and we were stuck. Four birds in the middle of the desert, and we were north out ahead of the other Americans.
Oh, my.
And
so, as a guy, as a journalist, what do you think? This is a great position to be in, or holy crap, I got to get out of here?
More toward the holy crap. The this is great was flying over Iraq. Holy crap started when I realized the now deceased former four-star general we were traveling with, Wayne Downing, said to me using an old Vietnam era term because he was a Vietnam infantryman, we're over Indian country. Mm-hmm. You'll forgive the political incorrectness. He said, this is unpoliced, virgin territory. We're not near any U.S. troops. Mm-hmm. So we got hit. We sat down. Everyone was okay. Our captain took a Purple Heart injury to his ear in the cockpit, but we were alone. They started distributing weapons. We heard a noise. And it was Bradley fighting vehicles and Abrams tanks coming. They happened to spot us. This was the invasion.
Oh, my God.
The U.S. invasion. They saw us. They surrounded us for 3 days during the sandstorm that was so big it suspended the war effort. It was called Orange Crush. And they got us out of there alive. And
You were on the ground in combat for 3 days.
Unbeknownst to anyone back here, NBC sent my wife and children to the breakers in Florida to keep their minds off of it and keep them occupied because no one knew where we were. We couldn't be in touch. Tom Brokaw was the anchor. The war coverage was going on. Our late friend David Bloom was traveling in a tank across the countryside. This was prior to his death, not because of, but during combat. And we got out of there and everything's fine. But this young command sergeant major, Tim Turpak, who is now on something like his 8th deployment, he's in Korea. Sends me this picture. Hey, buddy, here we were.
Take
10
a look
years
at it
ago.
Again. This is him right
this
there.
This week. There
wow.
We
oh my God.
But that's what the cavalry looks like. The cavalry came for us, and that's what they look like.
I have to treat you now with renewed respect. That's a tremendous story.
Oh, don't think any differently of me. I was an accidental tourist covering a conflict, trying to get close to these fantastic volunteers we have in the war who raised their hands to go fight two wars. We got hit, and I came away just with more respect for these men and women. We just got to make sure they get everything they deserve when they come home.
And absolutely.
Okay, so you heard what Brian Williams stated with stunning accuracy, some might say, such details that it can't be false. Now, as you heard also, you'll notice that the audience gave him a resounding applause, and even David Letterman was almost bowing at his feet, saying, you are a war hero because he went in. Now, of course, Brian Williams performed the perfunctory, "I'm not the hero here. The people who carted me around are the heroes." But lo and behold, we find out that Brian Williams lied about the entire incident. And we read from the Washington Post, which, by the way, those of you that are new to maybe finding out where you get your news from, be careful with the Washington Post, because they're just below the New York Times in their leftism, okay? It says here, NBC News anchor Brian Williams conceded on Wednesday that a story that he had told about being under fire while covering the invasion of Iraq in 2003 was false. Williams said he was not aboard a helicopter that was hit by enemy fire and forced down, a story he retold as recently as last week during a televised tribute to a retired soldier doing a New York Rangers hockey game. On NBC Nightly News Wednesday evening, Williams read a 50-second statement apologizing for his characterization of the episode. Listen to this, Arai. This is getting interesting. Listen to this apology. Actually, you know what? Before we continue, before I read the excerpts, listen to the entirety of the apology.
On this broadcast last week, in an effort to honor and thank a veteran who protected me and so many others after a ground fire incident in the desert during the Iraq War invasion, I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. We all landed after the ground fire incident and spent two harrowing nights in a sandstorm in the Iraq desert. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and, by extension, our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. I hope they know they have my greatest respect and also now my apology.
Okay, so you heard it. I'm going to go line by line or particular excerpts so that we may examine this. After a ground fire incident in the desert during the Iraq War invasion, did you notice how they wrote the word invasion? Because we are the colonizers. We are always the ones going into other people's territory and doing evil, attempting to establish Western ideals, impose Western ideals on people who simply want to be left alone. And yet, the very same people that supposedly want to be left alone keep asking us for their help because ISIS is crucifying Christians, expunging them or throwing people out of their homes, killing young children, raping women. They're pillaging a big portion of the Middle East.
Not only that, Brian Williams is enjoying the fruits of his labor here in the United States. So he could phrase it all he wants, but it's not affecting his check.
You want to hear the following? This is what makes me incensed. I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. Let me inform the listeners how this came to light. There's a newspaper called The Stars and Stripes. They dedicate themselves to providing news about the military and interview veterans, so on and so forth. And after, it seems as if after the televised New York Rangers game, the person who was commandeering that helicopter finally spoke up and said he was not in that helicopter, the one that was attacked. As a matter of fact, he showed up on a separate helicopter 60 minutes later after the incident actually happened, which, of course, discredits his original story. But notice how he characterizes it. I am already knowing, you can see it, obviously, this is a shady, at best, apology.
Yes, it is.
Mistake? Yes, it is.
I don't think it's a mistake. And how do you forget something like that happened 12 years ago? You should be able to recount what happened 12 years ago. Maybe not with exact precision like it happened yesterday, but you should have all the details ironed out.
But wait a minute. We just heard the clip with Brian Williams on David Letterman, and it seems to me as if he has these great details about it.
As a matter of fact, I think he should write a book.
Well, he did appear. That incident did appear in an NBC booklet where it assumed, not assumed, that it, it implied that he was on the helicopter that was struck down. Notice how he says, we were attacked by RPGs and AK fire. Check this out. It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by rocket-propelled grenade fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. This is also a lie. In the apology itself, he's lying because he wasn't in a following aircraft. See, technically, he was in an aircraft, but he wasn't following the aircraft that was shot down by RPG fire. Oh, my goodness. Notice how he says this was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and by extension our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. A bungled attempt? You can't simply say thank you? No, because you have to cough up some of the glory for yourself. A do nothing. And let's state what this is. This is stolen valor.
Of course. There's a reason why I believe former President Reagan said trust, trust, and verify. So whatever you're hearing, whatever you're digesting, whatever you're assuming to trust, you need to make sure and verify it and keep verifying it before you make it trustworthy.
Look at the following phrase, quote, I would not have chosen to make this mistake, end quote.
He already did.
This is a separate quote. I would not have chosen to make this mistake, but you did. And it's not a mistake. This was an outright lie. But sorry, that's not the terminology that we use in our day and age. We can't call people liars because it's too harsh.
Gio, he's going to get offended, Gio, and we can't offend him.
Even though he's attempting to offend our intelligence?
Yes, Gio, because remember, he was being sincere when he went to Letterman.
He continues, quote, I don't know what screwed up in my mind that caused me to conflate one aircraft with another, end quote. Like you said, what would cause you to misremember, like Roger Clemens said, this incident? The pilot obviously did not forget what happened or bungled, as Brian Williams says, the incident in his own mind and retelling of it.
First of all, you and I know that NBC and NBC and all these other NBCs and Cs are struggling with ratings. And they are upset that Fox News keeps getting the number one slot and they're getting the ratings. So it's obvious that he has to go to a late night show that is probably doing okay, garner up a fallacious statement and present it as a fact, because now they're going to be like, oh, he's a war hero. You know what? We need to go and see his program, his nightly news, because, oh my God. No, this is all, it's a stage that he's doing. He is going around and saying the story. Then he apologized. And it's all to get ratings. That's all it is. That's all it is.
And he knows, people like this absolutely know that even though he might be covering a story about other heroes, usually they interject themselves, they inject themselves into the actual storyline so as to have people admire them for their supposed valor.
Gio, I think I just got a call from Steven Spielberg, and he's going to want to make a movie out of this.
He's going to want to make a movie out of this. Not about the apology or the falsehood, but Brian Williams being in that helicopter.
Yes, right? Because remember, he was there, and he's an eyewitness account of what happened.
Yes. It says in the report here, in the hockey broadcast last week, Williams told viewers, the story actually started with a terrible moment a dozen years back during the invasion of Iraq when the helicopter we were traveling in was forced down after being hit by an RPG. Our traveling NBC news team was rescued, surrounded, and kept alive by an armored mechanized platoon from the U.S. Army 3rd Infantry. Why couldn't he just be forthcoming and say, we arrived an hour later, and let me retell the story of how these men survived in the desert after having had their helicopter shot down?
This that would have been applaud.
You see? No, but even then, I wouldn't have, but that's the thing. It doesn't applaud him. That's why he had to interject himself into the story. Now, curious, it continues. Williams' claim of surviving an air attack bothered several soldiers familiar with air operations at the time, including Sergeant First Class Joseph Miller, who was the flight engineer on the helicopter that carried the NBC news crew. Quote, no, we never came under direct enemy fire to the aircraft. The soldiers' complaints prompted Williams to issue his first apology Wednesday afternoon on the NBC Nightly News Facebook page. This is before he went on air. He says, quote, I spent much of the weekend thinking I'd gone crazy. I feel terrible about making this mistake, especially since I found my own writing about the incident from back in 08, and I was indeed on the Chinook behind the bird that took the RPG in the tail housing just above the ramp. Notice how he said, behind the bird that took the RPG, which makes anyone read that statement believe that he was directly behind in a line of helicopters.
Of course.
But yet, this person, the actual eyewitness to the event, said no, he arrived 30 minutes to an hour after the incident actually happened.
Good point.
He added, because I have no desire to fictionalize my experience. Well, then why did you? You see what I'm saying, that they're insulting our intelligence? We're seeing what we're seeing. Common sense is telling us he is lying, and he's attempting to somehow vindicate himself, stating, I'm sorry, you know, I made a mistake. You need to apologize. And you know, there's this implied statement here, and I can see it, and I'm pretty sure you can see it also, and our listeners will too. Forgive me. Any human can make mistakes. You've heard that before, right?
Yeah,
you deserve to forgive me.
He has a big stage, and for you to make a mistake like that, that's big. And he's been doing this for quite some time now.
Even if you don't have a big stage, think upon it. Anyone that says, or you've caught in a lie, and then they try to excuse themselves, provide a pretext, now they're attempting to insult your intelligence.
Well, can we arrive at the conclusion that the same Brian Williams will make a shady apology for standing by the decision of applauding his daughter in doing a raunchy show?
Oh, yes. We did cover that about a week or two ago.
So can we arrive to that conclusion that he may give a maybe kind of sort of in a way, I'm sorry?
This does speak about Mr. Williams's character and also those that participate in the mainstream media, does it not?
Yes,
it does.
And
we are making reference to his daughter, who appears on the Perverse show, Girls, yeah. And she was involved in an obscene scene that we will not repeat because we do not want our listeners to hurl their dinner. It continues. I think the constant viewing of the video showing us inspecting the impact area and the fog of memory over 12 years made me conflate the two, and I apologize. Again, I bring to the attention of the listener the clip that we just played of Brian Williams on David Letterman. He provides, for any person that has no knowledge of what actually happened, stunning detail that would make any third party believe everything he said because of the amount of details that he provides. So he did conflate the two. Somewhere along the line, we could assume that he decided to steal our brave men and women's valor.
Of course. And I think the true heroes here are the people, Sergeant First Class John Miller, who came out and said, you know what, let me tell what really took place. So I applaud him for doing that. And I applaud the Americans who were there in the gunfire and were able to make it out alive. Those are true war heroes.
And besides, this story itself makes no sense even without this clarification, with the truth coming to light. How is it possible that you survive an RPG firing, an AK-47 firing constantly on your vessel? As a matter of fact, the first Chinook that began to it was hit by the RPG, the AK-47s, it tumbled once it hit the ground. Thankfully, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong in this, but if I'm not mistaken, most of the people in that helicopter crash survived.
Mm.
But the way that it landed, it didn't land softly like most helicopters do. It had been shot, and they did a tumbling landing when they had arrived, you know, once they had hit the ground. There would have been evidences of him being hurt in that particular situation, which he was not. Now, in conclusion, he continues stating the following. This is Lance Reynolds, the flight engineer on the Chinook that was hit, told Stars and Stripes, quote, it was something personal for us that was kind of life-changing for me. I know how lucky I was to survive it. It felt like a personal experience that someone else wanted to participate in and didn't deserve to participate in, end quote. He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And yet here he is attempting to insult our intelligence and providing a quasi-apology. He's not sorry. It's obvious by his statements that he is not sorry. He is simply looking to get away with his blunder.
Yeah, of course.
Intentional blunder, might I ask.
Of course. And for Letterman to invite him without verifying that story.
I'm glad you mentioned verified.
I mean, come on. You have been in the business for, I don't know how many years. You're doing a late night show and you have someone come who is famous at the same time for his nightly news, if you want to call that news. He comes and you're not verifying that story to see, because this is going to be broadcast. Heck, you don't know if millions of people might be watching this and they're going to be like, wow, look what he did.
But that's the idea. But I'm glad you mentioned the word verified. Do you know why? I'm glad you mentioned it, because I think we should end this show by stating the following. We have said before, don't trust the mainstream media. Don't trust reportages constantly produced by these entities. Why? Like you said, where was Dave Letterman verifying? We should also verify whether these things are so. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us that the Bereans were much, that were more in the walk, if you will, properly, than those of Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was so. They verified. You said trust, but verify. You're absolutely right. Reagan was right. You trust, but you verify. That's something that this generation does not do. And look at what these people do. They understand that those that don't verify are willing to heap over their praise on someone who doesn't deserve it. And the ones who are looking for fame, they're all too ready to soak up, to imbibe themselves in that fame that they do not deserve.
And I want to encourage the listener, the youth. And I don't know how many times we've said it in this program, test everything. It's your job as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, to verify everything. Examine everything that your professors are telling you, your employers, the people around you, your coworkers, your friends. Examine it. Examine it. We as Christians, our duty, our job isn't to come to church and warm the benches and warm the seats. We are to verify and see if what the minister, the people who are bringing the word of God to us, if it falls in line according to the scripture, just like the Bereans did. That is our duty, and that's something that I want to encourage the listener to do.
Absolutely. That's all the time we have left for this edition of the podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in. You can download this entire program through our website, lwym.org, lwym.org. You can also find out more about our ministry. We meet every single Wednesday night at 8 p.m., and we are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments, please direct those by writing us an email, info@lwym.org, info@lwym.org. For Sarai, this has been Gio. We will once again meet on the next edition of the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWYM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwym.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The assault bequeathed by evolutionary theory upon the historical narrative of creation is unrelenting. Therefore, it is utterly imperative that Christians equip themselves for the battle. With the intention to provide answers, Living Word Church is pleased to invite you to the upcoming visit by Jay Siegert. Jay is the author of Creation and Evolution, Compatible or in Conflict. He's also a Christian, scientist, and founder of the Creation Education Center. Take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to counteract the destructive effects of the theory of evolution in the minds and hearts of your children and grandchildren by visiting us on February 15th, as they will hear the scientific truth they won't otherwise encounter in schools. Remember, Jay Siegert at Living Word Church on Sunday, February 15th, 2015. Two meetings, two topics, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the morning. For more information, contact us by calling 305-461-9929. 305-461-9929. See you then.